In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are right on the, we're anticipating the beginning of our great and holy Lent, when we prepare ourselves, and as a community we prepare to enter into the glory of his resurrection. And this preparation is outlined Sunday by Sunday with various themes. And as we anticipate the beginning of Great Lent, today we have the Gospel on Judgment. And it's a very, very powerful Gospel. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left." And of course, I think we can immediately see the image. Are we going to be sheep and submissive and obedient? Which is a very beautiful image, because when the shepherd tends his flock of sheep, there are no tethers between the shepherd and the flock. The sheep follow the shepherd wherever he goes, and they do this with obedience and instinct. And so there's a power and beauty in the idea of the shepherd and the flock. But of course, the goats are very active and they're rebellious, and they want to go off and do their own thing, as it were. So here we are. Are we going to be sheep, or are we going to be goats? And it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" And here, it's so beautiful, because the Savior is identifying with those who are hungry. And those who are thirsty, and those who are strangers, and those who are naked, and those who are sick, and those who are in prison. And of course, the Savior is the image of perfect and abundant love and compassion. And he reveals this compassion. And he says, Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me." So we see that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate shepherd, shepherding his sheep, identifies with those who are without, and those who are without food and without comfort, without shelter, and who are sick and infirm. And again, it reveals his compassion, his love, that he shines upon us. And it also hopefully stimulates us to think about our own selves and what we do in relationship to those around us, how we see one another and how we help those who are in need. And so the gospel goes on, and then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into every everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you a hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, say, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it not unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So I think it's very clear that this is a very sharp and penetrating gospel. And it's a gospel, I suppose, that in many ways is hard for us to hear. And it's very difficult, I think, for us to fulfill. And one of the issues is that we as a society have been profoundly separated from those who are in need. And we don't see, at least in most places where we live and so on, we don't see those who are on the streets suffering and those who are in need of food. And I think it's even part of our sort of psychology that even when we notice them, that we turn away from that need. And if we see the need, we don't know what to do. We just don't have this, what are we going to do and how are we going to meet this need? And we're under judgment for this. On the other hand, the society, the way it has developed in our times, has separated us. Obviously, there's whole stratas of income and education and profession and so on. And then, of course, to those who do not have large incomes or have very small incomes, do not have great skills, do not have fine educations and so on. And it seems that these have, as it were, slid off into this realm of neediness, but not being noticed. And I think that one of the great miracles of the Holy Orthodox Church is the communities that can be gathered. And so that and the communities should be, and I think are to a large degree, filled with people of all different stations and walks of life. And here, within the context of the community, we have the ability to reach out to one another, to embrace one another, to gather one another under, as it were, our love and into our deep concern. And this, of course, is very beautiful. In earlier times, and I'm blessed with a little bit of old age, I remember earlier times when they're in communities which I actually lived in, the diversity, the people, there were people who were great wealth and were able to separate themselves. But in general, in towns that I lived in, people lived together. And I remember this very clearly living in Orange, New Hampshire. And one of my favorite places from my childhood, which is filled with so wonderful memories. But it was a small community, probably less, about 120 people, perhaps. And people really of many diverse walks of life, teachers, lumberjacks, farmers, and so on. And it was very, very memorable that when a person was in need, whether they were more capable or less capable, the people gathered around them and brought them food and comfort and offered to care for children and even help in the barns when let's say, the head of the household was unable to take care of his cows and so on. And it was a very obvious thing. And what I remember was so vividly is these were people of all different walks of life, and yet they lived in community and embraced one another and took on one another's burdens and helped one another in a way that was visible. And later on, when we lived in a larger town in Lebanon, New Hampshire, it was very similar to that. There were definitely poor and people in need and of every kind, and yet the community rallied around them and helped them. Today, we're separated. There are very clear lines of separation between ourselves and those who are in need. And it requires us to seek out those who are in need and to help them. And then, of course, we have many other issues, such as there's actually fear. This fear of those in need, because when those are in need, often have such difficulty that they, that they steal from one another and they abuse one another, and there's the whole issues of drugs and so on. And so what has happened, it seems to me, is that the sort of decadence of our society, the imagery that we see through television and the internet and so on, has blinded us, and it has filled us with a darkness, and that darkness literally makes it impossible for, or makes it very difficult for us to break out of the darkness and enter into a life of ministry and concern. And this again is, I think, the beauty of the church, and because the church has the ability to grow and to reach out and to embrace everyone, and may we, as a community, as we grow and mature, may we find ways to reach out to those who are in need. And if we hear the gospel of today, it is something that we need to do. We need to find ways to reach out to those who are in need. And there probably are, if we spent time and effort at it, I'm sure that we could discover people in our own community that would benefit from our love and care. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, it's very interesting, because there's Matthew 7, 1 through 2, it's really quite interesting, because he says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, and for their works were evil. For the Father judges no one, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Most certainly," this is the Gospel of St. John. "Most certainly, I tell you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." So the theme with John the Evangelist is really quite remarkable. Because basically, what he says very simply is, those who hear his word and keep it pass out from judgment, and which means that the beginning of our growth in Christ to lead us to the point of maturity, where we can actually reach out to others, it begins with the Word of God. We must read and immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and if we do this and immerse ourselves in the Word of God with humility in prayer, then we will be guided along the path of ministering to those who are in need. Brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we enter this great and holy pilgrimage of Holy Lent, we need to do those things, to enter into the fullness of prayer, and to enter into the words of the Holy Gospel. We have all been darkened, and we have this opportunity to shed those things, those thoughts and those feelings and so on that are at the root of our darkness, and enter into the love of Christ and enter into the mind of Christ through his word and through the divine services. And what a beautiful thing it is that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ has called us together to enter into this pilgrimage, so that we will truly know who he is in his holy resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.